All right, welcome back to episode 104, and on this episode we're going to talk about the new Captain America Civil War movie. And on the episode, we got five of us today. Actually, we've been loading up on some of the major movies for reviews, which I really like. On the podcast, you obviously got me, Brian, and you have Dave.
What's up?
You have Pauly.
Hey.
Don.
Aloha.
Because he's playing a ukulele, so that's why he was had that aloha comment. And then John is on the podcast as well.
What's up?
And like I said, we're going to talk about mainly Civil War. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about, I was thinking towards the end, we'll talk about where we're going to see Marvel going in the future and what your guys' opinions on where you think that this story is going to lead into to that later on. So we'll talk the normal format where we just think our, say our ultimate ideas about the film and what we thought initially was, and then we'll get into spoilers later. We'll get you guys fair warning before that. Anything we might talk about now would be anything that you would normally see on the trailer. Nothing past that point. So, who wants to go first?
On what about the stats overall for the film?
Yes.
All right.
Stats would be good.
So, it was directed by Joe and Anthony Russo. It got a 8.4 on IMDb, 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is awesome, 75% on Metacritic. It had a budget of $250 million, and so far, worldwide, it made $943
million. 943. That's it. In two
it's
weeks,
supposed
right?
to hit a billion by the end of the week.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive.
Just like every other Marvel movie out there.
Hey, man, they earn it.
They've made do. $10 billion, over $10 billion over the last 9 years. They're doing okay.
I've only made two, so.
All right, who wants to go with overall opinions on the film? No spoilers.
I'll go. Can I go into why I think our Marvel movies need better work yet? Can I go into that? Or are we just talking about this movie?
Why don't you just wait a little bit?
I'll wait it out.
So initial impressions, I would say, yes. You know, let's just to a recap, like the last podcast we did, we just touched on it lightly. I honestly think, no spoilers, just a solid Marvel movie. I mean, you know, we're not talking Oscar-worthy stuff, but it's a good action movie. You know, they make it happen. They put good actors in. They have good screenwriting, good storytelling, great direction. Honestly, probably the strongest Marvel movie so far, easily.
I'd have to agree
with that one.
Yeah, I'd second that last statement. What I was going to say, you told me to wait for it, but I'm going to say anyways. my problem with the standalone movies is that they're weak. They're weaker. This movie in particular, with no spoilers, was probably one of the strongest standalone ones. Like, if you look at the first Captain America, they literally had a montage in it. So it was like a summary of, hey guys, this is what Captain America is. Wait till you see him in the Avengers. This was a story building movie, and it was done in a good way where, you know, you see other people from the Avengers and, you know, superhero type cast, but it's more of a development of Captain America, which I think is a good thing. So it's probably one of my favorite Marvel movies, actually.
Pauly?
See, I actually think the first Iron Man and Winter Soldier both top the list as far as Marvel movies go. But this is up there with them. My problem with this movie in general is that it's essentially Avengers 3. More than it is a Captain America movie. I know it's very much about Captain America, but there's just too much of everybody involved for me to really feel comfortable calling this a standalone Captain America movie. So, but I do give the movie a strong score, definitely like a, you know, probably an A. I don't know if I go A plus on it, but definitely a strong A.
Alright. Dave,
I guess it's my go.
You still with us?
Yes, I'm still here. I got 4 hours of sleep as usual. I may slur, but I think it was an awesome Marvel movie. I don't think it was better than the first Iron Man. I don't think it was better than Avengers. I think it was on par with them. I didn't think it was anything special, like, you know, greater than those films. It was just as good. It was just like a solid awesome Marvel movie. I think what really made it stand out, like, wasn't the story and the acting, it was the battles. Like, we got to see hero versus hero on an epic scale, and we had Spider-Man, and they introduced Black Panther, and...
Spoilers.
No, those were on the trailer.
I'm kidding.
It's in the trailer, dude.
You're skating on thin ice, though, Dave. Careful, man.
Okay.
Preemptive.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, based on those facts, like, it was awesome because you introduced, it didn't introduce, we saw Spidey already on screen, but there's a new actor playing Spidey and you wanted to see him in this Marvel world. So, which, it was awesome.
He's one of the best Spider-Mans, I think.
I think he's the
hands
best.
Hands down. Yeah.
He wasn't, for sure. I don't know if this is a spoiler. He wasn't whiny. He wasn't angsty. he was just a kid that had, you know, powers, and that's exactly what they played to, and
yeah,
it was
let's wait we'll until we do spoilers to talk more about.
Yeah, we'll talk details on
can
it.
I'll just rate it real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Since Paul did, I'm gonna give it an A. I got no complaints about it. Nothing that'll like chop it down too far. It's an A for me for a superhero movie.
Yeah, I would have had to be nitpicking in order to find something like really wrong.
Yeah, I think like personally, I give the movie an A too, and I disagree kind of like with you guys. I liked this movie. I enjoyed it a lot more than the Avengers.
Oh, I agree with you. Not to interrupt, but I agree with you. I think it's way better comprehensively than the Avengers.
I agree. And then so what I liked more about this movie than the Avengers, I think it did like a great balance between all the characters, and every single character had something to add to the story and had something to add to the movie and actually had an emotional tie-in. I think there wasn't one person that was just in there just to be in there. I think everybody actually played a role and actually fed into the movie in a positive manner. They weren't just like there as like set pieces upon the mantle, you know? And I liked how they were able to carry the storyline from Winter Soldier, which was already a really good movie. You kept the same directors. So they were able to pull it right from the Winter Soldier right into the same movie, carry it along. And like I said, I think there's more emotion in this movie or more.
It's more character driven.
Yes, it's an action movie. Like Dave said, it's not an Oscar worthy movie. There isn't anybody that's going to get on there for fantastic acting, but you were emotionally involved in this movie more than you were in, I think, any of the other Marvels per se. That's my personal opinion. But
yeah, they did a good job at making you care.
See, exactly. I disagree, dude. Like, the first Iron Man, when he bonded with that Afghan dude in the cave, to me, that was more touching when he died. Like, I didn't feel for anybody in this movie. I wasn't like, oh, that's sad. I wasn't like, you know what I mean? There was no emotion. The only emotion I had was like the awesome factor. I'm like, oh crap, like Ant-Man's fighting whoever. Like, it was nothing. Then I didn't feel anything for Winter Soldier and Cap's relationship, and it was nothing like that. But the first Iron Man, you know, I actually felt sad for that guy because he had a family and he died, and then Tony looked like he was hurt, and then he like puts on that, you know, he got that badass old suit. So yeah, I don't know. I disagree with that.
I still like Iron Man. It's still one of my top ranking Marvel films. But I think to put Iron it over Man. The top of the Avengers. In my book, I would put this over the top of the Avengers.
Yeah, the first Iron Man is kind of in its own kind of realm, because that was before any other Marvel movie. They had perfect acting with Robert Downey Jr., and that was like, hey, we're just going to make an Iron Man movie, and that's what kind of started this type of dynasty type of thing. But like I said, like this is the first movie that, out of all like the standalones, if you will, wasn't like against a world-ending. Like, my biggest problem with, like, Thor, Dark World, and all that, it's this world-ending event in London, and Thor's the only one there. Like, it just, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, if the world is going to end, is Iron Man like, hey, I got a business meeting, you know, the Hulk's like, I don't want to deal with, like, it's just
well,
crap.
Yes, the this Hulk would be like that, actually. But yeah, I get what you're saying about everybody
else. He is hiding.
Yeah, but the point is, like, It takes away from those standalone movies because it's immersion breaking in the fact of if it's a world ending event, that's exactly where you'd expect to see the Avengers. This movie and like even Winter Soldier, it's more of like a personal type of like thing. Like you don't need to assemble the whole team to fight, you know, somebody. Like that's why I think the first Iron Man is one of the better ones because the bad guy in that one was Obadiah. Against, like, you didn't need to call in all these extra people, which they weren't really around at the time, but you know what I mean? Like, it was a personal attack as opposed to, you know,
I think what we're all highlighting really is the differences in the phases that Marvel has projected. You know, in the beginning, phase one, phase two are a lot of origin stories, and then phase three and all these things going forward are going to be a lot of ensemble stories, I think.
Which I think is better.
Yeah, I think this just could be a show of what's to come.
I got to say, the most entertaining Marvel movie is Deadpool. That's my opinion. The most entertaining. See, not the best movie, but the most entertaining.
That goes with my statement of, like, having more than just, like, if it was just Deadpool, I don't think it would be as, like, it'd still be good, but I don't think it'd be as good. Like, you needed the antithesis to him with the Colossus and, what is her name, Mega Boom Chick. Yeah.
Yep,
I respectfully disagree with that, dude. I think Deadpool's entertaining enough that he didn't need Colossus or Megasonic whatever, like, to make the movie. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, 80% of the movie's just him. They're barely in the movie. Agree to this.
It had a little bit of comic relief to an already comedic movie,
rounded him. And even at the end of the battle, it made it more, you know, Deadpool's going for the main guy. They're dealing with this. Like, it makes more sense, like a living, breathing world, as opposed to, hey, here's a movie about one guy that's going to take out 1,000 bad guys because he's awesome. You know what I mean?
I did like seeing Colossus, like, showcase for finally, like, on screen, because, like, they teased him in the other X-Men movies. You really didn't see what Colossus could do, and then they actually show, like, Colossus do stuff.
Yeah. The most Colossus did in X-Men was walk through a wall, basically.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Pretty special, though. I walked through a wall once, but I was incredibly drunk. Didn't work out too well.
Hey, and, the wall won, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I pushed this girl into a wall in fourth grade and knocked her tooth out, but that's nothing to do with Colossus.
See, man, wow, you're
a bully.
She pushed me first.
The domestic violence.
She pushed me first, and I hit my face on the wall.
Dave, at that point in Dave's life, he was in the Bronx, so he was just, you know, a city kid trying to deal with the world.
Yeah,
in the fourth grade, getting beaten up by a girl.
Yep.
Damn. She lost the tooth. I didn't. For the record,
you lost a little bit of honor.
So, you guys
want to
go into spoilers?
Whoa.
Somebody's
trying to call out, huh?
So we got Chris Evans calling in, guys.
Yeah. Captain America, how do you feel about this?
All right, so where are we at now? Are we going to do spoilers now?
Sorry, anybody hear my son yelling in the background? I apologize. He's got teeth coming in. He's a little bit of a monster right now.
All right, so who are we going into spoilers now, or?
Yeah, let's go in.
Okay.
I can't believe Ant-Man died. Oh, my God.
Okay, I just got to say, the highlight of the whole movie was awesome. But I got to say, Spider-Man won me over. I was a Spider-Man hater when I saw the trailer. I admit this. I was like, he's got a 12-year-old voice. I wasn't feeling it. I'm used to, like, a 20-something-year-old Spider-Man. That's what I read in the comics when he had his apartment with Mary Jane. And then I'm like, what's this kid? But I guess the essence of Spider-Man is he is a kid. Mm-hmm. And seeing him on screen, he was awesome. Tom Holland completely nailed it. He was like a PG Deadpool. He was funny, but it wasn't dirty. And then the second standout of this whole movie, which completely intrigued me, loved him, Black Panther. Black Panther was the shit. Like, I want to see a standalone Black Panther movie. That's my stance.
You will, too.
Yeah,
2019, I think.
Dave.
I think he was an awesome actor too.
He was like, yes,
he was just like mysterious enough where you're like, this guy's badass.
Chadwick Boseman, I think, is his name.
I've never even heard of him before. I've seen him in a movie, I don't think. But yeah, he did a stellar job.
He was amazing.
They actually said, I heard on an interview that they actually asked him to look at four different languages and kind of mix the four different kind of like African languages to make kind of like that. The Wakanda dialect that he had. They asked him to pull from different African languages to do that.
Did you guys catch his movements? Like, when he landed, he hardly made any noise like a cat. Mm-hmm. Like, they paid cool attention to the character. He was awesome, man.
Yeah, at one point they dropped him off a balcony upside down, landed on his feet. Pretty amazing. Yeah.
I didn't catch that stuff.
I didn't catch that either.
I think it was cool too. I think it was cool the way they introduced him. Like, they didn't force him. Like, he was not a character that was forced upon you. He just showed up. You like realize that, all right, he's bulletproof, and then you see him with the claws, and you just see him like be this badass dude. They didn't like.
Well, he's from Wakanda, and they had the
push
there, and it blew up his people. So like, it kind of made sense that, you know what I mean. That's what I mean.
But it wasn't forced. Like, it wasn't like, oh, here's the new character. Let's force him in there. You know?
I liked how they introduced him. Yeah, the best way they could have introduced without it being over the top. I mean, I still was like, oh, of course his dad's going to die, and of course it's going to kind of force him in. But you take a step back, it's still probably the only real solid way you can introduce a new character like that and have him introduced and, like, playing the game in the movie, you know, like, with the characters fighting out in the sequences. I think it was pretty well done, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that we didn't have to have a backstory for him. Like, every character gets a backstory, you know. We didn't have to sit there and spend half the movie finding out how he became this guy. He was just there. And
Yeah, they're banking on all of us doing research now, because I didn't know a whole lot about Black Panther, but when I saw him in a trailer, admittedly, I did research on him, and then I learned about the character after seeing him in a trailer, and I'm like, oh, he's badass. He runs a whole country. He's worth like $70 billion, some nutty amount, has alien technology, consumes some kind of mystical herb thing, is super strong, has vibranium suit, claws. Like, he's badass.
The only thing you just said that I knew was the vibranium claws. And that's only because he was able to scratch Cap's shield. See, I didn't know that. I'm pretty sure his whole suit.
Originally, I did some research too after seeing the movie, or just before it, around the time of the movie, and I'm pretty sure that it was an asteroid that struck the area of Wakanda that dropped off all that vibranium, and that's how it's in one specific area. And in the comic books, it's actually like a flourishing city, because they so heavily regulate the sales of vibranium leaving Wakanda. So they make all the money and keep it inside the city. And then, you know, when he was saying like death isn't the end for our people, that's actually a clue into like how the leaders of Wakanda die. All the knowledge goes into the next generation.
Hey, I think you watch the same YouTube video as me.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
YouTube is great.
You guys in your research.
Yes.
Yeah, he's like the African Batman, except like plus one.
Yeah, he's honestly, he's like a male Catwoman. I mean, fantastic. Yeah,
that's more like that. Like a black, he's the offspring of Batman and Catwoman.
Yeah, actually, Black Panther is more like a mixture of like Batman and the Phantom, because the Phantom, you kill the Phantom, and then the next son or whatever takes up the mantle, and it's kind of like Black Panther, like, you know, it just keeps going generation to generation. He has his own fighting style too, his own unique fighting style. He's like a master of martial arts. Apparently, he's one of the best fighters on Marvel.
Well, I guess, and I also watched on that YouTube video that Don obviously saw too, is that they actually make him come in and they make him fight the best warriors and. Yeah. And he's actually has to prove himself as the top warrior and the Black Panther. So he has to be the cream of the crop of everyone that's there for fighting style.
I'm hoping they show the city as well too, because supposedly the city is pretty fantastic. So the big statues, him fighting and his backstory, I think it'll all be great to actually see it materialized on the big screen.
If you stayed till after the credits, you saw a glimpse of the site that, the Winter Soldier is being kept, and that's in the Wakanda area, so.
But they're all dead.
Yeah, and you saw the,
They were all dead.
Who's all dead?
No, he's
all the Winter Soldiers.
Black Panther.
No, I'm talking about after the credits.
The first post-credit scene.
Yeah.
The one where they freeze Bucky.
And that's in the Wakanda area, and you just saw how highly technological that area is, and that's just, you know, his place, you know.
I don't know how you guys feel about this, but personally, I think once again, Robert Downey Jr. was the glue to the movie as far as the main standout superhero. Like,
I know he stole the show.
Yeah, I don't want to see a group movie without him. Like, Robert Downey is the man. Like, I love him as Iron Man.
Paulie's raising his hand.
All right. Can I say my favorite, one of my favorite scenes in this movie was where they showed him looking like he was a fucking teenager again. Like, it was amazing. They did
CGI.
Such a good
so
job.
Much, CGI, so much CGI, and it was done so well. It looked it like it was flawless. Right out of one of his movies before he started doing drugs.
Yes. It took what they did in Tron Legacy, and he took it to another level.
Yeah, they did.
It blew my mind when I was watching that. I'm like, did they just like shave his face? Did they put a lot of makeup on? And I'm like, no, that's like all CG.
I was listening to another one of the podcasts, and some guy's like, you know what? He said, after seeing that, he said, screw having like a new Indiana Jones. He said, bring Harrison Ford back.
Yeah. See, the thing is with
Harrison
that,
Ford make him play. Run, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any truth to this. I'm just guessing. I don't think, and I may be wrong, I don't think he was full CG. I think they actually had Robert Downey act it out.
I think it made him look young. Yeah, oh, yeah. I heard that it was actually motion capped from like right below his, right on his bridge of his nose. And they CG'd most of like right under the eyes, you know, so it still had his same like facial features and whatnot.
That's probably the easiest way to do it, you know? That's what
it's interesting that you guys are all talking about Tony Stark being the glue because originally, from what I understood, he wasn't actually supposed to be a big part of the movie.
No.
And then Robert Downey actually campaigned to be in it and wanted a bigger role, and that's how it came to fruition.
Which, that doesn't make any sense because in a Civil War comic, Iron Man is he's at war with Captain America. He's a huge...
Spider-Man's a bigger character in the comic book, too, well, I read.
I'm just happy that they managed to get past the Sony thing and get him in there because he belongs in there.
Dude, they got to just... Listen,
you
Fox,
see the name for the new movie that just came out, or that's going to come out for Spider-Man?
Homecoming.
You see the title, Homecoming?
Stupid. I hate it.
I like
it.
It's good.
Did you also notice it was one of the trigger words for Bucky?
I saw that,
yes.
Also, the year it's coming out, 2017 or whatever, was also
I didn't catch that. But what I was going to say is that Fox, that they do X-Men and they do Fantastic Four and Sony with Spider-Man, listen, you guys got to admit that Disney, Marvel, they know what the F they're doing. And you gotta let them kind of take control. What the hell is that noise? Sound like a
Defiant breathing into the mic.
My bad.
Sorry. So, yeah, they have to bite the bullet because Disney, Marvel, they know what they're doing, man. And if you let them, you know, take control of the steering wheel, they're gonna do it right, you know? So, and overall, they're gonna make more money. It's kind of like they don't want to admit that. So they're like, yeah, we could compete and do our own awesome superhero movie, but if you just kind of let them take a little bit of control, everybody makes out because they're already going to make a billion.
See, I think one of the things that Marvel did out of everything on all Marvel movies is they had a phenomenal casting director. Like, yes. I could not see anyone else as Iron Man. I could not see anyone else as Captain. Like, they fit the bill so well, and
I think that was all Favreau picking Robert Downey.
Yeah, whoever it was originally, like, that's the problem I think with other superhero movies where, like, Fantastic Four, like, they're just not what you picture, and they just don't exemplify what they are meant to be. So you're like,
You mean a Black Human Torch, like
Michael B.
Let's just be honest here, like, that's just retarded. What Sue and Johnny Storm, they're brother and sister. So you're already screwing up the origins. And it's not about a black-white thing. It's about the origin story of these characters, man. Like, you don't make Superman Japanese. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. You don't make Blade Hispanic.
The new Flash, isn't he Asian?
I don't know.
I believe the new Flash is Asian.
I don't know.
In the standalone movie that's going to be coming out.
Before we run too much away from this.
No.
Before we run too much away from this, I want to actually comment on Spider-Man in general. Dave, you kind of glanced over it, but I didn't actually get to like say my part on it. I just wanted to say, like, I think Robert Downey was the perfect character to kind of like bring him in. Like, the way that they played off each other was awesome. You know, he comes in with all his confidence, and, you know, Robert Downey has like, what was the Spider-Man or what was Iron Man movie? The third one where he's like dealing back and forth with the kid. He kind of had that same kind of chemistry back and forth. And this kid, I can't remember, what's his name? He nailed like the awkward, kind of not confident in himself, but like that young kind of like witty kind of attitude. And I think I'm so excited for him to be the new Spider-Man. I really
The only thing that worries me is I think the new Spider-Man is actually going to be helmed by Sony because they've lent Spider-Man to Marvel. So they said, all right, we're going to give you back Spider-Man, but we're actually going to let you borrow Tony Stark. So it worries me because Sony does not know how to make a superhero movie if their life depended on it.
I heard it's co-produced. I hear that's the deal. I hear that's the deal, is it's going to be co-produced by Marvel and Sony.
Yeah, but that first scene that you're talking about was actually really well done. I mean, another great way to introduce a character right on point in the movie and not have it lengthy, not have it
contrived.
I mean, and it's good. You
no
get in
origin.
There.
Yep.
You know, there's Aunt May who's smoking hot, by the way.
Yeah, can I just ask, why is Aunt May getting younger and younger? Next movie,
who cares?
She's going to be like 12. Like, yeah, Aunt May.
Dude, Marissa Tomei is so hot. She's 52 and is so...
Is she?
Dude, yeah, I loved her in My Cousin Vinny.
My Cousin Vinny? You got to see her in The Wrestler. She's a stripper.
I've seen that.
Go buy that.
Jennifer Aniston as Aunt May. It's like, yeah, she's
I'd be okay with that, too.
Yeah. losing
you're
argument.
You're not making a good case here, John.
You're missing my point.
We got to talk about the battles, but before we get into that, think about going back to Spider-Man. How exciting is this? So if they're rebooting the Spider-Man franchise, you know who we haven't seen on screen? Carnage. We haven't seen Carnage. Venom kind of sucked in Spider-Man 3. We get to see Venom again.
Yeah, if they reboot Venom.
Like, Hobgoblin, you know, Green Goblin, Mysterio.
No more Green Goblin.
Yeah.
Thank you, Don.
Sorry, I got your back, Paul.
No more Green Goblin. Screw you.
Green Goblin is iconic. And then, like, overkill.
Yeah.
Okay, Spider-Man's not overkill. We can redo Spider-Man. We can't redo villains.
He's a main character. No, because Green Goblin is super lame.
Kind of.
Well,
no Spider-Man villain.
Hey, dude, that's one of his main...
In the defense of Green Goblin, the movies completely slaughtered anything cool about Green Goblin. So, that said, I'm tired of seeing him. There's so many other enemies that Spider-Man has to go up against.
Demogoblin. Demogoblin's like a possessed hobgoblin. No, so about comics, guys.
So Captain America Civil War.
Yeah. Yeah. AKA all right, back on Spider-Man topic. Movie.
So I'm going to shut up, but I just want to say one thing about the battles and you guys rant. I think they were balanced very well because when you looked at one team, you're like, this is a squash match. If you got Vision on one team, you're already screwed. Yeah. The Vision is ridiculous.
Yes, but to counterbalance her, to counterbalance him, you
have Scarlet Witch. Yeah. But look at the rest of the teams, dude. Come on. You got Hawkeye, Falcon. Who cares? Like, Falcon's garbage.
Falcon's the new Captain America in the comic books.
Yeah.
That little drone thing he's got is pretty sweet, though.
Yeah, that's new.
That was an upgrade.
Well, it's only new to the movie. He actually, in the comic books, he was telepathically linked with a Tweety
Bird. He's got a
bird,
right? Like a real, yeah.
Yeah, and it would fly around and he would say Tweety Bird. So they said, no, we can't do that. It's gotta be science-based. They don't, I will give that to Kevin Feige. He definitely wants things to be more based into science. So they made it a drone instead of a telepathically connected bird. Yeah.
But again, the battles were pretty balanced but in all honesty, you know, it's more so because like Iron Man and War Machine held back, Vision held back. I mean, if they wanted to wreck Captain America, they would kill them. Like, I mean, let's...
Right. They weren't trying to kill anybody. They just wanted to prevent them from getting out of there.
I think both sides were holding back. They really didn't want, it was like you're in the same hallway, you're best friends, but you're just kind of going to keep throwing elbows to try to get by.
I think Cap was out for blood. I do. I think Cap was out for blood.
Kill his friends.
I think in that whole fight scene dynamic, my favorite part was Ant-Man when he got really small and like went in Iron Man suit, and then he like went really giant and gave him a distraction. He was my favorite part of that fight scene.
I think Ant-Man casting. I think his character, like Paul Rudd, is like perfect as Ant-Man, and in this movie, it's like that's one of my favorite parts in the movie. Just like with the small cameo he had.
I think the great part about casting Ant-Man and Paul Rudd like that is that he really embodies the audience. So, you know, that's if we got a chance to actually, in real life, if there was such things as superheroes, meet them at an airport, you would do exactly what he did.
Bro,
you'd be nervous,
line,
you'd be stuttering,
a subtle fourth wall break because he does all the same thing he's thinking at that time.
Yeah, which is clever. I mean, it's good that they have that, I think. I would agree with it.
Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead.
Sorry.
He had a line. He said, "Thanks for thinking of me." And it was so subtly done that I didn't hear anybody else in the theater even laugh, but I was dying inside when he said that because it was so perfectly done.
He was all giddy about seeing
Captain America. Was just so just smoothly thrown in there, and I was like,
"It makes him real. It makes him real." Exactly. That's the big thing.
But that's exactly what I was getting to is that he basically is the audience. You know, he represents that in a great character, not just a crappy, sappy character. You know, and then when he goes big, by the way, to clarify, the fight scene we're talking about to the audience, if you haven't picked up, is the airport fight scene, I believe. And when he goes, you know, I got a shot at this, and it's either going to rip me in half or it's going to be awesome. And he doesn't know when he goes supersized to Giant Man. Mm-hmm. That was great. That was seriously awesome stuff.
Yeah, and Iron Man's like, does anybody else have any fantastical powers like you don't know about? Yeah. Like to kind of match that? That shit was funny. Okay, how do you guys feel about this one? I personally, this is going to sound messed up. I wanted somebody to die. I wanted some high stakes. Yes. I was disappointed that nobody died. You know,
I rebut that statement with who do you think should die?
Captain America.
No.
Probably. Well, look what they do in the comics. They always bring everybody back. You know what I mean? Eventually. So I think the movie would have had more of an impact if they would have stayed true to the comics and have somebody
I respectfully
die.
Disagree. I think it would actually
That's not true. Agent Carter died.
Yeah, there you go.
They brought him back.
Civil War?
Yeah, it was her funeral, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then Captain America started macking on her like 15 minutes after the funeral. You don't remember that?
Jerry Springer. That was some Jerry Springer shit. Like, he was banging the mom and then goes for the daughter.
He never actually.
Am I right about
that? All he could do was dance with her. So he's had
granddaughter.
Years,
granddaughter.
Can I say that? Yeah, like 60 years worth of
blue balls. Right? Like, that's so wrong.
It's tough.
I would have done it.
Anyways, yeah, I don't think.
Shrapnel, man. You just get that when you're that good looking.
I don't think it would have been as good if someone died. I think there was enough tension, enough driving force between, you know, and they didn't really touch on it too much as much. Like, it was more personal with, like, the Tony Stark family thing. Like, they could have done a lot more of, like Iron Man's, you know, side of it, of we need to be like watched over, you know, that whole point there. And Iron Man basically saying like, if we're giving up our freedom, like what's the point of even doing this type of thing? So
that's what I wanted to bring up too is who like saw that coming? Did anybody kind of like see it coming with the whole
Winter Soldier
killed his parents?
No, I didn't, but I didn't find it that. It was okay. It was okay. Like,
I mean, it was a driver,
it started,
but
they're cool. I mean,
I like that they had on like a camera on some random ass back road that perfectly captured everything.
Baron Zemo set that up.
Yeah, it was planned. Like, the whole thing was planned. So
at least when they did the replay of it happening, it wasn't like the movie camera from the previous shots, like some movies do on the television screen. You know, you're like, well, that was the movie camera, not the security. Yeah, yeah, but honestly, I mean, it was again. This is why I'm saying it was probably one of the stronger Marvel movies, because to have a thing at the end that's going to force Captain America, Bucky, to fight against their good friend, Iron Man, you're going to need a good, strong, not contrived point, something to make it happen, a trigger. And honestly, I mean, it was probably one of the best triggers you could do for a movie like that. It was good. It was impactful. We all felt it, whether it was large or not. You know, it was one of those, oh man, now he's totally justified in his anger to attack Bucky
especially,
and Captain America.
Especially after seeing that, like we were saying before, the Robert Downey, the young version, like he even just, like they set that up with the whole, you know, I never saw him again, like type
it's
of situation. Yeah. And then you see that was, and then it's, you know, so many years passed, and then that's tough.
But I wanted to see a death because we were expecting nobody to die. We were kind of expecting that nobody was gonna die. So I think if they would actually killed someone, it would have been like impactful.
Well, I keep saying that there has to be a value associated with a movie. There's a value. There's a reason you care about a character. And in these movies, it's getting to be so fantastical, so like absurdly over the top. I mean, all you have to do is put one bullet pretty much in the chest of Captain America, right in the heart, and he dies, you know, more or less. Like, he's not.
And at this point, I wouldn't even care. This movie made me really dislike him.
No.
Because, That's kind of what I'm saying. There's like no value to it, you know. There needs to be value there. And if you have a death that's non-reoccurring, non, you know, rebirthy, whatever you want to call it, then you'd actually all of a sudden have, you know some gravitas.
Yeah. What I wanted to kind of roll into is, I don't know if we want to stay on this subject, was what do you guys think about the Accords? Like, what side do you take?
Team Stark.
Well, the problem, and it shows kind of in the whole, and it's even Captain America thing, like the whole Hydra thing. If you have an oversight committee from the UN, there, you know, you're going to have people that are going to influence, you know, decisions and preventing.
Honestly, that's one of the issues I had with the movie, because Tony Stark is fighting for the Sokovia Accords, which, you know, in Captain America's making the point, well, if people get in there with an agenda, i.e., you know, Hydra inside of S.H.I.E.L.D., then it could become corrupt, like S.H.I.E.L.D. became corrupt. But then Tony is well aware of this, but he's still saying, oh, but I want the Accords. And it's kind of one of those things that's like, yeah, but if you were in that universe, you knew the S.H.I.E.L.D. got corrupted by Hydra.
Yeah, but he said, like, well, he made, like, a side comment, too. He's like, anything can be amended. That's what he said. He said, go ahead and sign it. He said, anything can be amended.
Yeah, but that's stupid. Like, I actually hate that line. Because it's like, yeah, just sign it. You know, we can always change it. Like okay.
And what's the point? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's just.
Yeah, I honestly thought it was kind of inarguable. I thought the thing maybe for is more media driven to get pick sides. You know, red versus blue, whatever. Right around the primaries time of our own presidential election, so maybe that's why they were trying for it. But I really didn't see like the Iron Man argument really just didn't hold any water for me.
I'm on Team Cat because I side with Cat because he made a lot of sense in the movie. He said, you know, on what hands are we more, like, are safer than our own? You know what I mean? Like, so it's like they're a gun and, like, they're controlling the gun or someone else is going to control the gun. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, and then, like, the United Nations, their stance is, like, it's so, like, invalid. Like, they viewed them as such a threat, like, operating on their own. But they actually, and there was, like, deaths involved. You know, based on like what they were doing, like the battles and stuff, but they also saved like 10 times the amount of lives. Like if they wouldn't have been around for those battles and people did die, like collateral damage, but still the world would have ended. Like when Thanos' army was invading, okay, let's just not help. And just because people are going to die, let's let the world get destroyed. Like, it's retarded. Like,
yeah, yep. And that's the thing, too. You know, I mean, and when Scarlet Witch stops Crossbones from blowing himself up in the city square, which is,
people.
Right, is indefinitely, is absolutely quantifiably more populated than a building, you know, the one floor building.
She could have thrown him elsewhere, but she threw him into a building. It was wide open on the other side.
Yeah, I agree. Not only that, but where the hell was Vision? Where was Vision in the beginning? Vision, he could have just been like, snap, and it's done. Nothing would have happened.
He was making some paprika-type stuff back at the
punked out.
Some waffles.
I like his little, like, remote-controlled, like, arm thingies. You know, like, when he'd, like, punch caps. He'd be like, yeah, piston arms. There you go. Those are pretty cool.
That's Frank Grillo. He's from,
Yeah, he's good.
Purge Anarchy, and I think he should have been the Punisher. He's badass.
He's from Warrior too, right?
Yes, he's the coach from Warrior. And Crossbones is a pretty badass villain. He's like an expert martial artist, like a special forces dude, and he was recruited by the Red Skull. And he's a big time Captain America enemy, and they wiped him out. They gave him no love.
That was quick. That was quick.
That was garbage.
They gave him some. But he had to be a catalyst to move the story forward.
It wasn't. Exactly. If it wasn't for that whole thing, then it wouldn't have been, you know.
Right. You have to remember, Dave, there has to be a plot driven forward, so they basically just pick a bad guy and put him in that scenario to drive the plot forward for the characters to create conflict. I mean, that's all he does.
Him dying, I'm okay with the plot forward, though? Yeah. I'm okay with the smaller type of, like, they could have had a world-ending event that they tried to stop and then people still die. So, like, they need a smaller, somewhat badass villain to be able to compete. Like, if it's a normal dude, then Captain America throws a shield at him, snaps his neck, and it's over. And it's like, okay, well, that was good. Wipe it up. They needed someone that could compete.
My thing is, like, with his death, I don't think they should have just killed him like that. Because I think, you know, if the explosion and the people dying was driving the plot forward, he didn't have to die. Because the explosion was driving
Well, his intention was to blow up Captain America. It just so happens that Scarlet Witch was there and contained it. He would, if she was not there, like that was the split second Captain America was dead. Like that was it. It just so happens that.
I just wish he didn't die, and they wrote something else for him. Like he didn't
from the guy who just says he wished somebody died.
I meant one of the heroes because
whose no team one really are you on, Dave? It sounds like you're on the bad guy.
Dave's on nobody's team tonight.
The bad side. Come on.
You know what I wanted to bring up? One of my main gripes in the film. I understand why they didn't do this or didn't continue this, but I think like they set up kind of this like super soldier, like five other Winter Soldiers that are more badass than Bucky, you know, and they could, one guy could take down Bucky and you can see how badass he is in the film. And then they just like punk him out with like a gunshot to their foreheads. I understand in the plot how that worked out, that the villain really didn't care so much about getting to them and unleashing them. He only cared about really internally doing it. But I think they should have utilized them with something. I think they should have like woke him up and then, you know, have Cap and Bucky take him down.
That's what makes it better, because the expected thing was, now we're going to have to fight these five soldiers. And in reality, the main villain is each other. Like, the team is against themselves. So, actually, well, this is one of the better villains,
I think. I just wanted to see five Winter Soldiers go at it.
Logical. Yeah.
I agree. It would be cool to see those Winter Soldiers go at it, but it would have detracted from the story. The whole point behind having those, the only point behind having those extra Winter Soldiers is as a MacGuffin. They were just a big red herring to guide us all along, so we didn't see the twist at the end. That way, when we saw the parents get killed by the Winter Soldier, it was like, oh, those five dudes, what the hell? He just got killed. And then you forget about the five dudes. They were just, that was just a red herring. But I mean, it would have been cool to see something, but they needed something to dangle in front of your face so you didn't catch on to what was happening.
Can you spell MacGuffin for me?
Yeah. MGuffin.
The main attraction, like the real climax we were waiting for the film was Iron Man versus Captain America, because they set that up in, I think, the second Avengers, like, because they were like on the ship, and remember when Loki's scepter was causing them to argue, and then Cap's like, you want to throw on the suit, and they were like right there about to fight. So they kind of set that up, that little seed, like, oh man, Cap and Iron Man about to get it on, and then
That really, it shows the mindset of them to begin with. Like, Captain America's back when America was, like, great. Like, we had honor, we had dignity, we had, you know, truth, we had, you know, what we say matters type of thing. And Iron Man's
Let's
more
make
Trump.
It again.
Now it, Trump.
Now,
we now had segregated bathrooms, racism. Now, I don't know if...
Iron Man's everything was slavery. Great, buddy.
You know, like, back in the good old days.
Back in the good old days, you know. Go ahead, Gia.
Yeah, after that, what do I want to say after that? I'm saying Iron Man is more the technology bit. Like, you wouldn't think, you know, 6 years ago that there'd be a camera on every street corner. Or not 6 years ago, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Like, we are under a lot more surveillance. The government's much bigger. Like, it's more of a big brother than before. Like, it's... So for Iron Man, it's like, yeah, it's, you know, whatever, you know, there's committees, there's oversight, there's all this stuff everywhere else. There can be some over us.
I will say, not to interrupt, but we were talking about this pre-podcast, is that what the Russos do, the directors, and what the screenwriters do, the writers of the show do, is especially the Russos, I think, is they exemplify, they take, to make you care about the characters and get invested in the story, is they take this kind of light undercurrent of what's happening in our current culture and kind of inject it up onto the screen, to your point, Gian. So it's a lot of this whole big government versus small government type deal. You know, should we have more oversight? Should we have less oversight? And I think it gets more Americans invested. I think it's pretty clever, and I think there is something there. I don't think it's a big undercurrent. You know, this is definitely not a Stanley Kubrick, like, triple narrative undercurrent, but it's something that I think they use to elicit a reaction from the crowd to care more about the audience.
We just had Ultron on the podcast, people. You were, like, breaking up.
Raise your hand if you are...
Sorry.
Feeling too uneducated to carry on a conversation with Don tonight.
I think I'm pretty good. I can hang.
I just can't use big words. Big words like MacGuffin.
I believe it was Benjamin Franklin quote that if you give up freedom for security, you don't deserve both. And that's kind of like
where. Yeah.
you don't deserve either. That's kind of where like Captain America is coming from, where it's like, yeah, if you're giving up your freedoms to be, you know, safer, it's a moot point. Like it's not the way it's supposed to do. So it's, I think Captain America's in the right direction.
False. And you guys have all explained why you feel the way you have about Captain America being right, but I'm the one person here who feels the opposite way. I haven't had a chance to explain that yet.
So explain it to us, sir.
Go ahead.
Captain America is supposed to be an American soldier, right? All he wanted was to be in the army. He kept getting turned down, blah, blah, blah. And then they finally made him into a super soldier with their experiments and all that stuff. Now, in doing so, he basically took an oath saying, I will do whatever to protect America. And I will obey orders because America. I'm in the military. America. Right? And I'm, you know, paraphrasing here, obviously. But by doing this, he is basically directly disobeying an order from a superior, which there is a superior because he is still an American soldier, regardless of whether he's an Avenger or not. He's still an American soldier.
He's on the
How
side
is he not?
Right, though, dude.
He is no longer, he's retired. He's no longer in the army.
They then he needs to take the Captain America shield away. Like, it's simple as that.
They did.
Yeah, they did. Exactly. So now he's got nothing. Now he needs to just die.
Like, I agree. I thought they were going to kill Cap America. Honestly, that's what happens in the comic. You know,
he was just an asshole throughout this entire movie.
On the standalone fact of cinematography and making money, they will not kill Captain America like that.
The second point, making money, they won't kill him.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like,
right,
if they do, they'll bring him back.
And like, there's no way they're killing off any of the main people for a long time.
What kind of a hero goes through the movie protecting somebody and fighting the good guys because of a hunch that he has, even though he watched him kill people?
I'm sorry.
He was only kind of right. Winter Soldier still killed people.
No one was killed. They were just getting beaten up. A lot of those German cops are definitely not going to work the next day. But there's no death there. And the only deaths that happened were because of the psycho, whatever he is, ex-Sokovian.
The only reason why people weren't specifically killed was because Captain America cleaned up after him and stopped people from being thrown down 40 flights of stairs.
No, dude, because when he first met him in the apartment, he goes, nobody's going to die. Winter Soldier told him, nobody's going to die. Like, so he's like, he's not going to use lethal force. He admitted that.
I don't buy it. Winter Soldier's basically like
Jason Bourne. He's not going to, you know, go up to someone and punch him in the face, but if he's going to get punched, he's going to...
How about that badass bike grab? That badass motorcycle grab?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Sick.
That was sick.
Now, go ahead.
No, I was just
Winter Soldier's... I'm sorry, Don. I thought Winter Soldier's arm was vibranium. I guess it's not, because Iron Man's Unibeam blew that shit to pieces. Can anybody back that up? Like, it's not vibranium.
I don't think it was. It was just a strong, strong metal.
It might be now, though, because...
not strong enough.
he was in Black Panther's lair, you know? And that's like...
He just had that stubborn. He was just like...
Eh. Yeah, but they might give him a new one.
Maybe it'll give him some Black Panther technology stuff.
Maybe. I was kind of disappointed they put him under deep freeze, because that's just a really, like, very common, like, superhero cop-out. I can't handle this, you know, or I can accidentally be called upon, so I'm just going to disappear.
No, but that's,
that was a shout-out to Walt Disney right there. That's what that was.
No, Don, that's Captain America's M.O. in Winter Soldiers. Like, they freeze. Like, throughout the comics, like, things have happened with them, like with Bucky and Cap, and they just, you know, they've been put in suspended hibernation like multiple times. So, and Winter Soldier was put, you know, he was put down in the first movie. He was like revived, you know, because if he was back in the 40s,
something like that,
when he killed whoever, he's been around since the 40s or World War I. So, you know, he's been under before, so they just put him back under. I was okay with that. I mean,
plus if they don't cryogenically freeze, you know, ever so often, how are they going to be able to have the ladies from each decade, you know? So they're going to stay at the ripe age of like mid 30s and then just be able to keep playing that game.
Exactly.
Pretty soon.
I mean, if they just keep freezing themselves, eventually they'll just get to the decade where they have sex bots. and then it'll all be for nothing.
I like how, going back to the fights, I like how the battles were pretty even, but I think they gave Hawkeye a little too much credit when he was fighting Black Panther. Dude, he was like holding his own with Black Panther for like too long. I'm like, okay, buddy, no way.
Again, I think it's because like both sides weren't fighting to kill each other. It's like they're just trying to disarm, which if they're both trying to disarm, it still is a great fight. It's just not, you know, Black Panther could have literally just snapped his neck off. And Hawkeye in general is, he's just not on par with anything.
It's no, like, I don't even know why both, they have like, Hawkeye.
It, and even Scarlett Johansson character, like, it's just...
Don't
take her away from me.
Yo, I'm just saying, it's like, I'm a spy.
You have to admit, though, she was badass in this movie. She whooped some ass in this movie.
She was better than all of the other...
The leg wrap-up and then the flip thing, like, yeah, but still, in reality, you know, a grenade or shrapnel can stop her and Hawkeye. You know, like, they should never really have been.
I'm going to interrupt you now, Dave. As a segue to all this, props, kudos, and I mean, rarely is it a point when I'm watching a movie when I say, oh my God, that stunt team is amazing. Because you see normal, you know, here and there, you see action all the time. You have one thing where you jump from a building. This was insane. Like when Crossbones throws, Scarlett Johansson down the tube of the tank and her feet are like wrecking all the way down and all the people jumping from buildings and all that stuff happens in camera. I know the Russos are big on practical effects. So.
Yeah, dude, I completely agree. I thought the stunt work was like amazing. I want to do some research on that movie. I'm sure some guys wound up in a hospital. Because some of those stunts were insane.
There's no way because they're, like I was saying, because they're so heavy into practical effects, basically in camera, not heavy on the CGI. They only use CGI really to maybe magnify what's going on, unlike Age of Ultron, which almost looked like a cartoon in the beginning. This was very visceral and in your face and very, you know, we're going to take you and we're going to throw you across the room on a table. It looked painful.
Well, it was a Captain America movie, so, and Cap's movies are very grounded that way. They're not like, you know, it's like guns and fist fights and hand-to-hand shit, so.
I will say, on the only correction there, though, is the one big gripe I have with the movies in the fight scenes, everything was shaky cam. Too much shaky cam. Much. Oh, my God.
I hate that style. I hate it. Zoomed in, shaky.
If it's done a little less, it drives it more, but a lot of times, like, it's a very fine line between just enough and nausea.
Yeah.
Because
that's the thing. It's sometimes the directors have a hard time falling on that line or riding the line, I should say, because either one, they go into the realm of a Hunger Games and they use it to lower the rating down to like a PG or whatever. Or in this case, it seems like they did it because they wanted to amplify the action, but they went too far with it. Whereas you have just a little bit here and there, like a natural cam, or a little shaky here, a little shaky there. But when it's like over and over and over and continually going for the first 40 minutes of the film, you're like, all right, man, I can't see what's going on. You can calm down. You know?
I think they also do that to mask some of the either effects and or the stunt work. Because if it's shaking too much, your eyes can't really focus on some of the smaller flaws in the stunts.
But again, that's what makes a great action movie. So if you watch a lot of the old Jackie Chan action movies, they're wide shots, and you see all the action happen in camera.
Dude, I've always been a fan of that.
Steady and camera. Just, you know, they put it on a tripod.
Rumble in the Bronx.
That's what I'm saying,
quick cuts. Quick cuts. It's like 2-second cuts for each thing, and that's how they do their stunts.
That's my Guardians of the Galaxy syndrome, where you see the fighting, and it's like, oh, and the fist is pulling out, and the fist is going in, the fist is pulling out. Like, you can't see anything. It happens too fast to register. You watch a lot of the old action movies, even some of the newer ones like Ip Man. You know, they have a whole wide shot, and all the action happens in that wide shot. There's no cuts and close. And
the raid was all wide shots.
See, Deadpool to me was a perfect balance of like new age, like, you know, action film work, where some stuff was like really zoomed in, like him firing off the gun, and then they cut back to like wide, and like it was. Deadpool was perfect. But Don, I've always been a fan of like wider action shots. I've said this that on this podcast a million times. I hate that shaky cam bullcrap.
You know, it's
so
done,
freaking annoying.
Yeah.
It's done well for the fighting style is the Daredevil in the Netflix series.
Yep.
Yes.
Like that is like sometimes I feel like it's like they're actually fighting. Like it's violent. So they're like, yeah, we'll just pretend that it's stunt work, but it's shot so well. That's what more movies need to do.
Well, that's what I said, I think, on one of the podcasts, is that the strongest Marvel stories thus far have been in the TV show format, the Daredevils and the Jessica Jones, very, very nitty-gritty, and especially Daredevil and the fight sequencing. Yeah, man, that's got to be the best so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. On a completely different note, going back to some of the fights, were you guys happy with how they portrayed Spider-Man? Because he was just learning his powers, and Spidey should wreck Cap. I mean, but Cap, like, used his experience, and he outsmarted him. I was happy with what they did with Spider-Man.
I think he was just, they played it off like he was just happy to be there. Like he said, I'm trying to look good for Mr. Stark, you know, like he's just trying to get in there and do what he needs to do. Yeah. I think they did a good job of playing it.
The only problem I have with Spider-Man is when he does the whole, like, the squint thing and his eyes get smaller. Mm-hmm. Like that's, you have to really notice it. It wouldn't make sense if he had a costume on.
No, but if you took, I saw it in IMAX, and if you look at his mask, Stark designed it that way. It almost looked like it was like windows. Like, well, it was pixels or something.
It's apertures is what it is. So it's just like, you know, like when you're zooming in or whatever the case is. Granted, it's done just for artistic effect because there would be really no need for him to do that. But again, you could explain it away by the fact that it is a Tony Stark suit.
Well, to convey emotion. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
but if you were Tony Stark in real life and I was Spider-Man and you designed me a suit, you wouldn't design me apertures on my eyes to express emotion, you know, if I'm going to be fighting bad guys. That's the only thing.
But he had brought up the point earlier that he needed those specialized goggles to help him focus because he's got the spider eyesight now, so everything's just there. Those help him focus on what he needs to focus on. Otherwise, he's got too much stuff going on because he's got, you know, special spider powers now.
But yeah, Gian, I could have swore, like, when I saw it, you know, I saw it in IMAX, it was really clear, and I saw, like, his mask, and I noticed that his eyes kind of, the white part shrunk down, and it looked like it was designed that way. Like,
It didn't seem like that on the screen.
Sorry, I'll let you keep going, but there's people that have gotten screen grabs from the trailer. And you can see it's actually shuttered like a lens or whatever it is. Sorry, continue on, Gian. I didn't mean to interrupt. But.
No, I was just on the screen that I saw, it just looked like it was a very CGI moment where they needed to show like emotion. So it's just like, oh, I'm going to squint. And I'm like, okay.
Hey, you
that
know,
doesn't really make sense.
You know, a bad example that we don't talk about, and it's hilarious that we're like bringing it up about Spider-Man, Deadpool. Deadpool makes no sense, dude. His mask makes no sense whatsoever.
That's what it reminded me. Like, Deadpool also had that one of those, like, squinty moments, and you're like, how does that make – it's a mask. It's not
– Well, Deadpool gets the freedom. He does that. The whole movie, again, his mask moves. When they said, you know what? We don't care. They're just doing it.
Deadpool in general is a fourth wall breaker, so you have to have some immersion breaking there, but it's just – out of everything that stuck out to me, it's like they could have done that a little better on the version I saw. Maybe I'll have to see an IMAX and see that it's an aperture.
I have one more gripe about the film. It's not a big one. I was kind of confused. You know how they link all the Marvel movies and they're basically setting up for the Infinity War. So like I was kind of surprised they didn't have anything related to the Infinity War. Like, Thanos with his gauntlet. So, were you guys surprised about that, or?
I'm actually glad they didn't touch into Thanos, because in reality, Thanos is like, it's pretty much like a world-ending thing. So, if they did, then it's like, their argument between each other is moot, because it's like, hey, why are we arguing about this stuff when we know that, you know, this huge galaxy owner out there is gonna kill us?
Well,
so
I think
because if
you like look at Marvel's next lineup and like next movie, I think that's coming out is Doctor Strange, and then it's going Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and then I think Spider-Man, and then Thor. So I think those movies are going to set up kind of what's happening in outer space, and those things will
that
have
makes
to
sense.
Be able to.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy and Doctor
and
Strange,
Thor.
I think will do that a little bit, and Thor. So I think those are going to bring us into infinity.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, because they're more cosmic beings. They deal, like, on a higher level.
Those are the next movies coming down the pipeline for Marvel, so I think that will do the job.
Not only that, too, but I think it would have been too much in that movie. There was already a lot going on in Civil War. They handled it pretty well. You start adding that Thanos factor, and I think it would have started maybe going like, okay, that's more than enough. You know, like, we're completely packed to the brim. This jar of jelly can't get any fuller, you know?
Right.
So actually, it does kind of make sense because they didn't really make any reference to the Infinity Gauntlet or anything in the other movies so much, like, except for, like, in the Avengers series.
Right.
Like, and in Guardians of the Galaxy, like Captain America is just, like, Captain America in his own little contained world. And, like, same thing with Thor in a way.
So I think technically the characters aren't aware of Thanos or what's going on for the most part.
They know some of it because wasn't the Tesseract Cube thing, wasn't that one of the gems or powered from a gem at one point or something like that?
No, but I think they were still confused over it, though, right? Because they were like, oh, we got to get this in Vision's head or whatever, you know.
Right.
I don't think they know the Master Stroke yet. I think we as the audience do, but then the characters don't know the Master Stroke.
Thor had the Infinity Gauntlet in his home world in the prison thing. So there was that. He has to know about it. I just don't know if they've ever really went too much into it.
Right.
Do you guys have anything else on Civil War? Or are we pretty much good with this episode?
If you haven't seen it, go see it.
Yes,
definitely go see it.
I concur. And did we all grade it? I gave it an A.
I gave it an A too.
I gave it an A plus, second only to the first Iron Man. It's probably my favorite Marvel movie.
I think if I could open up a whole new realm of judging a movie, and I'm not really big on grading scales, but you know, as a superhero movie, as a giant wrestling movie with superpowers, I mean, I'd probably give it like a B plus or an A, A minus.
I give it an A for a superhero movie. Let's not, you know, get confused here.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean. As a superhero movie, that's basically what it is, though. It's WWE 2016. I mean, it's the guys in tights beating the snot out of each other, which is fantastic. I'm not downplaying it at all.
They're really cool tights, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. Awesome CGI tights. But, as a superhero movie, I mean, I'd give it was a fun ride, you know. It was pretty well done, too, so I'd say see it, you know.
For sure. Brian, you want to bring us out?
Yeah. We'd like to thank you guys for getting on the podcast and listening to us on this episode. I hope you guys got to see Civil War. Glad that we all got on here to be able to do a big review. If we can continue to do the big reviews on the big films that are coming out, that'd be pretty cool. It's fun when you actually get to have multiple people get on, say their opinions. We all look at movies a different way, so we can all bring something new to the table. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and any other podcasting website. And you can write an email to us if you want to get in contact with us at newbreedfilmreviews2014@gmail.com. And you can also contact us on our Facebook as well. And we're also on Twitter, too.
At New Breed Podcast.
Yes, at New Breed Podcast.
There was a older Twitter page that didn't get updated enough, so we started a new one. The old one was New Breed Film. Don't go there anymore. Go to the new one. Thank you.
We'll post all the podcasts up on that Twitter page, and then you can hit us up that way. Our best response time is, if you really want to get in contact with us, is on the Facebook. All right. So have a good night, guys, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Take care.
Bye, guys.
Aloha.